darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here in American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. It is with a heavy heart I come to you today. Quite frankly, I feel like we should be in a state of mourning for our nation. With things that are happening, especially what happened in the state of New York, I'm going to get to that. But first, let me introduce the men who helped me bring this program to you. Mr. Jason Tross on my right, Mr. Jeff Reed on my left, the brethren I affectionately refer to as J Squared. Hannah Farrow will be joining us shortly in the screening room. And I want to offer my encouragement to you. This is a day where it seems more striking to me than ever to make sure you serve your families well. One of the great realizations we should come to by studying the Lord's word, particularly in Galatians, that the Lord's desire for our particular nation, for sure, was that similar to the Old Testament, not identical, but similar, just as the Lord said, the Old Testament would serve as a schoolmaster to train the heart, train the mind, and train the conscience for righteousness, with the fullness of which would be ushered in by the Spirit of God indwelling men. Similarly, in our nation, many in our nation take their indications about what is right, what is wrong, based on what the law says. I've given examples before. For those of you who don't think changes in the law result in changes in the hearts of men, I've said repeatedly that that's not true. Changes in the law always lead to men's heart changing concerning whatever issues the law touches. It just takes longer than a cataclysmic encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. In the 60s, prior to the Loving versus Virginia decision, there were lots of people in the United States of America who felt like if you have two individuals with different melanin content, then they should not be married. Following the Loving versus Virginia decision, we see multi-ethnic relationships, marriages happening, multi-ethnic marriages, let me be specific, happening every single day. 1973, January 22nd, a day that will forever live in infamy, that was just compounded yesterday. Prior to that day where Roe versus Wade was decided and ultimately his companion case, Doe v. Bolton, you'd be hard-pressed to find a person that would be even willing to engage you in a conversation in public about in utero baby murder. But following that day, you see an entire political party enshrining this utter wickedness into their party platform. And then the most recently, we had the issue with Obergefell versus Hodges. Prior to that decision, there were 31 states, 32 if you include legislation passed that either passed legislation or amended their state constitutions to define marriage as the exclusive union of a lifelong union of one man and one woman. But following Obergefell, we see the national opinion just flip almost overnight to where we're not only having conversations about same-sex marriage, but we're all the way talking about transgender rights. Folks, changes in the law always result in changes in the hearts of men. Primarily, the law is a basic communication of what our society deems as being right and acceptable. Now, how does this relate to my encouragement to you to bring your family close? It's because this is one of those times where we're going to have to be emphatic about training our children and teaching our family members that the law does not tell us what is right in this instance. Even if you have courts that would say killing a child is okay, it's still sinful in the court of the eternal court of the God who sits on the eternal throne of judgment. Please don't neglect your families. I urge you, I implore you, I beg you, please do not sacrifice your families. Don't allow your wives to wither on the vine. Don't allow your husbands to wither on the vine. Don't allow your children to be discipled by this wicked governmental system. Please, I urge you to understand that the calling to serve our families is a high and holy calling that we can't afford to fall down on the job in our generation. Amen. With that, let's turn to 1 John chapter 3. Man, I'm telling you, the word of God cuts like a knife. I understand we're living in an era where we have regressive individuals in our midst that would go apoplectic if they find that a kid is studying, a child is studying the Lord's Word, the Holy Bible in school, but they have nothing to say if there's a Quran there. They have nothing to say if somebody's trying to teach your children how to say certain prayers based on the Quran. But if the Bible is in play, then everybody has issues. And there's some basics that we used to know in our country based on the Word of God, but that we don't know anymore. And it's high time that we relearned some of these basics. 1 John chapter 3, give a little bit of context. John the apostle is the longest living of the Lord's apostles, whom he called to follow him in spite of Roman efforts to kill him. Apostle John wouldn't die. And as he aged, he found his consistent message being agapao, love one another deeply from the heart. And listen to our Lord as he speaks through Apostle John in these passages. 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 18. And I'm going to try to read these slow. I know I talk fast sometimes, but I'm going to read these slowly. Verse 11, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Now, that word love there, let me just say this now. It's the God kind of love. It's agapao love. It is not this secular romantic comedy presentation of an arrangement that is nowhere near what biblical love is. This is agapao, God's kind of love. And look how he describes the way we should engage in love and the way we measure whether or not we love one another. Verse 12, we should not be like Cain. What? We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil. And his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone, listen to this carefully. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. My God. Right from the beginning, the Apostle John says the message that you have been taught from the beginning is to love one another. Then he goes on to say, how is this love employed? Don't act like Cain. At the most rudimentary, fundamental level, if you truly are a loving person, you truly are a compassionate person, don't kill anybody. How can you claim to be a person of compassion? Well, you will not only approve of people getting killed, but you would celebrate it. You'd fight for the right to do so. You'll say this person's life is not as important as my life. This person's life is a hindrance to me, so I can kill them. It seems kind of basic, but it must not be too basic, because the Lord moved Apostle John to say, listen, the message is to love one another. The basic implementation of that love is don't act like Cain. Don't kill your brother. Then the Lord goes on to explain through Apostle John, you want to know why Cain killed Abel? You want to know why? Because Cain's deeds were evil. You want to talk about in utero baby murder? Because Cain's deeds were evil. Then the Lord goes on to tell us through Apostle John that how do we know that we've been born again? How do we know that we've passed from death into life? It's because we love the brethren. This is one of the examples where I said, you cannot tell me you love God and you hate his church. Can't happen. You can be frustrated. You can identify problems. You can have issues. But at the end of the day, you realize if you're a Christ follower, the church is your family too. You can't say you love God and hate your brothers. Then he goes on to say, do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. Again, using the representation of Cain and Abel, saying that if we live and we're functioning in righteousness, do not be surprised when the world comes against you. Abel did nothing wrong. It was his righteousness that provoked opposition from Cain. It was his righteousness. Then in verse 15, the Lord just lays it right on the line. Everyone in the Greeks means everyone. All three of y'all. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. The Apostle John is picking up on the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verses 22, where the Lord is saying he ups the ante beyond conduct, external conduct, and say, you've heard it said that you shall not commit murder. But if you look on your brother with hatred in your heart, it's as if you've already committed murder. Why am I saying that? We are in this place where our nation is fraying at the seams. I was talking about yesterday the mandate to be peacemakers. You cannot be a Christ follower and you're harboring hatred in your heart for anyone. I don't care if there are people who your political opponents. I don't care who it is. You can't love God and say you hate Democrats. You can't love God and say you hate Republicans. You can't say you love God and hate anybody. It's not possible. It's not possible. Everyone who harbors hatred in their hearts is a murderer. You can't love God and hate somebody because they have darker skin. You can't love God and hate somebody because they have lighter skin. It's not possible. These are things we used to know. We used to understand, but we find ourselves excusing our harboring of malevolent will and ill intentions toward people and saying, oh, well, they deserved it. I've had conversations with people who said, after I presented them facts concerning Nick Sandeman, the young man from the Covington Catholic School, saying that he didn't do anything wrong with this Native American man. And they say, well, so what? He had that Make America Great Again hat on, and he knows what that hat stands for. And I'm saying, excuse me? And many times, these are the very people that consider themselves to be compassionate. I'm saying, come on, are we so emotionally involved and so idolatrous where we can't allow the basic communication of the love of God to supersede our very own opinions? Then the Lord goes on. But if anyone has the world's goods, and think about this, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how can the Lord's love abide in him? How can God's love abide in him? You know, one of the major things that's available to us right now in the middle of this government shutdown, if you know someone who's affected by it financially, won't you bring them dinner? You know, would you be willing to step in and help them out a little bit, especially if you know what's going on? And I found this interesting. A lot of the people who want to talk about the callousness on display because of the people who've been furloughed at the federal government shutdown, I said, man, I didn't hear any of y'all saying anything when millions of people lost their job because of Obamacare. And they weren't furloughed. Their jobs were eliminated permanently. But I didn't see the same amount of rancor. I didn't see the same amount of news stories bringing people up. They're saying how much they're suffering as a result of the movements of politicians. I'm not saying that this for the purposes of tit for tat. What I'm saying is if you know people around you who are suffering, man, help them. But can I take it to another level? How much more basic can we be about not allowing the bowels of our compassion to be shut up? When who are the most vulnerable among us? The babies. How can we profess to be compassionate and we're willing to let grown folks, because of decisions that they may have made, because of their own inconvenience, to just kill people? We're at the place now where we can't hide behind the lies and say that we don't know that they're people. We see heartbeats in days. We see limbs growing in weeks. How can we be a loving people if we're willing to allow the babies to get killed? How? How can I believe that you're going to be a person that's compassionate to care for the down and out and the downtrodden, and you can't even be bothered to care for the own child that's growing in your womb? Folks, our nations, our consciences are seared, and we need repentance desperately. Nothing else really matters.
The Bible comes alive in Israel. Hi, I'm Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. Archaeologists in Israel recently unearthed a massive man-made elevated platform that possibly held the Ark of the Covenant. Archaeologists were exploring the hilltop that the Bible says the Ark was kept on for 20 years. That's when they made the discovery of the ancient platform. Israel is definitely called the Holy Land for a reason. The entire nation is filled with incredible historical and spiritual significance. This spring, I want to invite you to join me and my wife, Anita, for a life-changing experience in Israel. The tour includes many biblical and spiritual sites and allows you to walk the very ground that Jesus walked. You'll also hear from amazing speakers, and it will strengthen your Christian faith and equip you to be a goodwill ambassador of Israel. And you will never be the same. Learn more at cidisrael.org/tour. That's cidisrael.org/tour.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. You wish things could be different, and the loss is overwhelming. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, 866-482-LIFE.
Doc, I've been feeling a little out of sorts lately. Can you help?
Well, let's try a few questions. What do you think of when I say the word Roku?
Oh, my wife and I used to love that dance when we were younger.
Yes, I'd say you're a little out of touch.
What do you recommend?
I recommend you listen to AFR.
American Family Radio. Available on Apple and Android products, Amazon Alexa, and now available on Roku.
And then we'd whip, and then we'd nay-nay. Oh, it was wonderful.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The Bible says in Genesis 1:27, God created just two genders, male and female. They are not interchangeable. They are different in every single cell of their bodies. As I describe in the Boy to Man book, men were designed with greater strength in order to protect the weak, including women and children. The differences in gender make it foolish and dangerous to put women in combat. Male teams greatly outperform female teams in shooting, surmounting obstacles, and evacuating the wounded. Female Marines are injured at a rate 6 times higher than their male counterparts. This, of course, damages military readiness and effectiveness. Plus, putting hormonally charged young men and women together in close quarters creates sexual liaisons, breakups, and rivalries which damage unit cohesion. Once again, the Word of God is the solution, not the problem.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I am grieved. I am deeply, deeply grieved to report that the New York State Legislature passed a bill, and they titled it the Reproductive Health Act. Ain't that cute? Reproductive health. Planning Parenthood. On the 46th anniversary of the Roe versus Wade decision, which was foisted upon the American people January 22nd, 1973, on the 46th anniversary of that decision, the New York State Legislature passed a bill which was voted on in the state Senate 38 to 24 with 38 Democrats voting in favor of the bill and 24 Republicans opposing it. But the bill passed that basically, and I'm going to explain some of the technicalities of it, but it basically allows unfettered abortion up until the 40th week of gestation. The bill was signed into law today by New York's regressive Governor Cuomo. Where they celebrated the passage of this measure. I want you to hear some of the responses of the legislators after this bill passed. Please play clip number one.
This administration defies American evolution. We're supposed to be moving forward. We're supposed to be advancing. We're supposed to live and learn. We're supposed to be growing to equality, freedom, and individual rights for all. God bless you. Congratulations. Yeah.
This now law will expand New York's already rather regressive abortion policies, and it's amazing. They call themselves as moving forward. How can you move forward when you're killing the most vulnerable of your population? But you're moving forward. Black Lives Matter, I guess not today. Where in New York City, there are more black babies that are aborted than are even born alive. Can you fathom that? Can you fathom that? Darker-skinned children more are killed than are born alive? It's sick. All of the children in the state of New York who are murdered. It's sick. Let me give you some of the technicalities of this legislation. The law will expand the state's already regressive abortion regime to allow late-term abortions when, quote, the patient is within 24 weeks from the commencement of pregnancy or there is an absence of fetal viability. But that's not all. Let me give you the rest of it. Or, because this is how they play the linguistic jujitsu, to get this stuff passed. Because the other stuff they say up front, so you get the talking points to say, oh, this bill only applies to children. They won't say children. They'll use other terms, but I'm saying children. It only applies to children within 24 weeks of the commencement of the pregnancy. Just saying that, 24 weeks. Or there's an absence of fetal viability, but there's a huge or. Or the abortion is necessary, here we go, to protect the patient's life or health. What do they mean by life or health? Life seems pretty obvious, but health, what does that mean? I'm glad you asked. The legislation provides a further exception to permit abortion at any point during the pregnancy if a healthcare practitioner deems it necessary for the mother's life or health. You said it again, eh? Well, what is this health exception? Well, in the companion case of Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court announced in the companion case, which is called Doe v. Bolton, they define health as, quote, all factors, physical, emotional, psychological, familial, and the woman's age. So if the woman feels like she's too old to have a baby, then that is concerning her health. If she just doesn't feel like having the baby, that would impinge upon her health. Do you see what I'm telling you? By including this language that the termination of the pregnancy is allowed when the abortion is necessary to protect the patient's life or health, as determined by who? The woman getting the abortion. It is a trapdoor, ladies and gentlemen, that allows unfettered, unlimited abortion for the entire 40-week gestational period. Folks, we haven't seen this type of barbarism since the Greeks. You could have a woman that is 2 days away from delivering and the baby can be killed legally in the state of New York. How can we claim to be compassionate? How can we claim to care for the health of women? What about unborn women? I cannot wrap my mind around this. I understand it, but I cannot understand. I understand it intellectually, but I cannot understand it. Do you realize that they not only have allowed, based on this law, for babies to be killed by doctors, but they allow them to be killed by doctors or nurse practitioners or midwives? You don't even have to have a doctor present anymore in New York if you want to kill a baby. Did we not just witness the Kermit Gosnell trial where he had untrained people snipping the necks of children? This is diabolical, folks. And I want you to try your best to wrap your noodle around this. In the state of New York, capital punishment is illegal for every human being except for babies in the womb. You can't kill a murderer, but you can murder an innocent child. On what planet is that moral? You cannot execute a person who commits the most heinous crimes in the state of New York, But you can kill a child and you don't even have to have a doctor present. To celebrate this monstrosity, they lit up the state capitol in Albany, New York, in pink. I'm nauseous as I'm talking to you. What are we as a society when we're willing to kill babies for convenience? And listen, don't come at me or confront me with the various issues. Can I tell you something? Do you guys know I'm the son of a single mother? Do you know that my mom had my older sister when she was 16 years old, growing up in the Desire Project in New Orleans, Louisiana? Don't tell me about poverty. Don't tell me about the difficulties that minority women have in the country. There's all kind of difficulty in the world. But as the word of God says, if your brother's in need and you have it within your ability to respond to their need, how can you claim to have love if you allow them to go without? What greater need is there than the need to live? I know that the boy probably is a bum, but don't kill the baby. The baby has nothing to do with that. I know there's circumstances in some churches where they've been hard on people who have conceived babies outside of wedlock, but that don't have nothing to do with the baby. Don't kill the baby. Over the Christmas break, my family and I, we went skiing, and we were on a particular area in the ski slopes, and my little 17-month baby was, my son was standing with me, baby Danny, and one of the teenage boys tumbled into him. And you should have witnessed how all of these adults leapt up off their feet, off their seats, to run to help my child. Many of them got to my child before I could get to them. Why is it the same type of compassion afforded to these babies in the womb? New York State won't even kill murderers. You hear what I'm telling you? They won't kill murderers, but they'll kill babies. They'll kill babies. I know life is rough. I know it's rough, but it don't have nothing to do with the baby. Listen. I am calling upon every person under the sound of my voice, every pastor, every church with an ounce of the love of God in you. Every church needs to be allied with their local crisis pregnancy resource center. Every single church. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Don't wait for preborn campaigns. Don't wait for legislation to be passed in your state legislature. Don't wait till Roe versus Wade is overturned. Respond now. I believe with everything in me that we can end this scourge regardless of what they do in the halls of Congress, in the halls of the state legislature. Every single family, every single church, go to the local abortion clinics. Let them know that you have people in your churches, people in your family that are willing to take the babies home. They have families that have been dying to take a child home. Don't kill the babies. Don't kill the babies. I think about my first child. My oldest son, Christian, we had the privilege of having a 3D ultrasound done early on in the process. And I saw his little face, and I was amazed to see that when he was born, he looked just like the image. You know why? Because he was a child before he was born. But in the state of New York, they're saying that's not the case. This new law, they've changed their law to remove any references to unborn children from their penal code. It doesn't only apply to abortion. You no longer can be guilty of feticide in New York. Instances where you have intoxicated motor vehicle drivers who crash into vehicles where you have pregnant women and the baby is murdered as a result. It dies as a result of the crash. Previously, you could prosecute the person for killing the baby. No longer in New York. Do you hear what I'm telling you? New York's law now says that a child does not become a child until they're born. Folks, this is ghastly. It's ghastly. I understand the great difficulties. And some of you are listening to me are saying, yeah, Abe, I know what you're saying. I remember when I got pregnant and my local church was very mean to me. I know that happened. I'm sorry for that. But the baby had nothing to do with that. The baby didn't do that. Our churches, we need to have a course correction. We need to encourage our people to adopt these babies. We need to encourage our people to adopt these babies. let the local abortion merchants know that we have people with open arms waiting to take these children home. They have to know it. They have to know it. We can no longer afford to wait for elected officials to do it. We've seen they don't have the courage. I'm not saying they're all evil. Many of them just lack courage. Just as some of us, you know, you're caught up in situations where you've engaged in fornication and you've been pregnant and you want the Christians to be compassionate to you. Well, can you reciprocate that compassion and not condemn all Christians everywhere in all churches because of your bad experience? Folks, we need a revival of compassion in our country, beginning with the babies. The hatred and things we see working out within the tension in our political discourse, it's merely an overflow of the hatred we're harboring around in our hearts. And the Lord is telling us to hate people is to be a murderer. And murderers do not inherit the kingdom of God. And if you're listening to me, and I know there are many who have had abortions who are listening to me, and you say, God has forgiven me, I praise God for your testimony, because you're a tangible representation of what the love of God can do. There is no need for anyone to be condemned by what I'm saying. If you found yourself and you've committed gross error in the past, the beautiful thing is that the blood of Jesus Christ is available for you today. But please, let's not continue on. When we know better, let's do better. Let's encourage the young women around us who are having babies and celebrate the glories of motherhood. Let's encourage young men around us and celebrate the glories of fatherhood. Because our nation is sick. It's sick to celebrate this ghastly notion. It's wicked, folks. It's wicked. It's wicked. For a long time, they could lie to us. My body, my choice. It's not even about your body. There's another person's body. Their blood type is completely distinct. Their DNA is completely distinct. It's not your body. And it's amazing to me, the very same people who yell these things, my body, my choice, are the same ones who have no problem with laws against prostitution. Laws against... We need a revival of compassion in our nation. And I'm not talking about this ooey-gooey, just emotion-led compassion. But the Lord told us in his word, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. In order to truly to love like God loves, our love must be grounded in truth. I said earlier this week, based on the epistle in Philippians, that to abound more and more in love will result in an increase in knowledge and an expansion in wisdom and results in wise actions and wise judgment that benefit others and glorify God. Love and truth are twins. They're joined at the hip. But this should be a day of mourning all across our nation. And there are other states that are eager to follow suit. In a state where they'll say, well, you cannot execute judgment on a convicted murderer, but you can murder a baby in the womb. Folks, that's sick. If you don't see the incongruity and that complete absence of morality in that, I don't know what to tell you. And I have so much more to say. I'm going to get to this faux compassion with the government shutdown. Some things I learned, not from the talking stick media, unfortunately. I guess I'll go into it now. We care about the condition of the federal workers. I talked about, if you know somebody around you that's struggling, help them out. But can I tell you something? Our elected officials had an opportunity last week, not this week, last week, to pay federal workers regardless of the government shutdown. Regardless of the government shutdown, there was a bill on the table in the House of Representatives to pay federal workers. But it didn't pass. I want you to stick around because I'm going to tell you why it didn't pass on the other side of this break. And to show you why and how I know for a fact that if people were honest and truthful, this government shutdown would have been over weeks ago.
it gives an impetus to share your faith when you think you've got answers to objections that you expect people to bring up.
The American Family Studios video series, Intro to God's Revelation, featuring Dr. Richard Howe, shows how God has revealed Himself in nature and His Word, and how we can rightly understand what God has said.
These truths are just a part and parcel of the Christian life. It isn't just for the professional clergy.
Learn the fundamentals of how to approach and understand the Bible in an age of skepticism. This 6-week video curriculum is perfect for your Sunday school class or study group, and it can prepare you to give a defense of God's Word and how He speaks to us in nature.
Knowing whether and how God communicates is a safeguard against false claims about God communicating.
Intro to God's Revelation, DVDs and workbook, are available for purchase at afastore.net or call 877-927-4917.
Our concern about 13 Reasons Why has not diminished. If you've signed the AFA petition to Netflix CEO Reed Hastings, then you've probably heard the story of Anna Bright, who killed herself after binge-watching the show. But did you know she wasn't the first, nor the last? Other young people have been influenced by this program and have taken their own lives. Netflix says they want to stimulate conversations about taboo topics like teen suicide, but they still refuse to have a conversation with the American Family Association about the dangers of their show. Please pray that God will change Mr. Hastings' mind so that he pulls 13 Reasons Why before another life is lost. Look for the AFA Action Alerts with information you can email and share on social media so that others can sign the petition too by visiting afa.net. Every vulnerable teen is another reason why.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Many years ago, a wise newspaper editor asked me a question about what kind of journalist I wanted to be. Would you rather be first or would you rather be right? In other words, don't rush to judgment. Make sure you have the full story. The other day, a group of young boys was publicly shamed by the national media, liberals and conservatives. They accused the students from Covington Catholic High School in Kentucky of mocking a Native American activist and shouting down a group of black Israelites. But it turns out there was more to the story. Other videos showed the Native Americans intentionally pushing their way into the crowd of teens, and the black Israelites were spewing homophobic slurs, calling the kids all sorts of hateful names. You can watch the video for yourself at toddstarnes.com. There was a rush to judgment here, folks, and I suspect it was because many of the boys in the crowd were wearing Make America Great Again hats, and that's deplorable. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I mean it, folks. We need a revival of compassion desperately. You know, I praise God. I've been on pro-life marches. I've prayed outside of pregnancy resource centers, but what a powerful testimony would it be if, in addition to praying and protesting and things of that nature, that we had families that were present, appealing to those who may be going into the abortion clinic and saying, hey, you don't have to go in there and kill your child. We'll take them. We'll take them. We'll care for them. That we don't have to wait until the screwballs in the halls of government get their stinking caps put on right. I think there are things we can do. We can do it. We can do it. We can do it. Getting back to this government shutdown craziness. I tell you, I don't trust the talking snake media, and neither should you. I'm minding my own business. I just so happened, and I'm going to tell you how I found this out, because I did not find this out from the media. I just so happened to follow Representative Dan Crenshaw from Texas, newly elected legislator from the state of Texas. He's a gentleman who's a military veteran who was mocked by Saturday Night Live and ended up going on the show ultimately. And he happened to post just a short blurb by saying, hey, by the way, this government shutdown, this refusal to pay federal workers only exists because Democrat legislators refused to pass a bill that I supported. I say, what? And Jeff can tell you, when I first saw the tweet, I didn't believe it. I said, man, we need to verify this. Certainly this would have been all over the place. But it wasn't. Sure enough, and I'm going to give this PSA for those who are listening. And if you're listening and you know people that this applies to, you should tell them too so they can listen to this program right now. If you care about the federal workers who are not being paid, you need to listen to me right now. Right now. And I'm going to give you some time because I know some of you have friends and family members who have been talking about how it's discompassionate to pay these federal workers and to require them to come to work without pay, which I agree with. No, I don't agree that it's discompassionate. I agree that that's a problem and we should have compassion for them. But there are some federal workers whom I've even spoken to who say, man, I'm hurting, but this is important. We need to have this wall built. And if we don't get it built now, we'll probably never get it built. Okay, here's the legislation. Last week, January 17th, the United States House of Representatives, Lord have mercy, get the hypocrite bell ready. January 17th, the United States House of Representatives voted on a bill that did one simple thing. The bill was crafted to pay federal workers despite the government shutdown. Hear me well. The legislation was presented to pay federal workers despite the government shutdown. The measure failed. You want to know why? 189 Republicans voted in favor of it. 6 Democrats voted in favor of it. 222 Democrats voted against it, including none other than Nancy Pelosi. You see, Nancy Pelosi has been going about saying how immoral walls are and how much President Trump doesn't care for the little man, that he's calling for this government shutdown, when all the while her lying lips knew that she voted against the bill to pay these federal workers. What? What? Listen to a little bit of the lying lips from Nancy Pelosi in clip number 4.
The reality is that the president could end the Trump shutdown and reopen government today, and he should. Instead, he is holding the American people hostage to his ineffective, expensive wall and withholding paychecks for hardworking Americans. To some, he is saying, work without a paycheck. To others, he's saying, just stay home. In all of those cases, he's being unfair.
No, Nancy, it is you who is being unfair. A bill was presented in Congress that would allow you not to end the government shutdown, but just to pay the 800,000 federal employees who aren't getting money. And because of the date that this bill was presented on January 17th, if the bill had passed, the federal employees would not have missed any money. Because legislation had already been passed for back pay. And this measure was passed on January 17th. Much of the federal employees' money, not all of it, but much of it had been passed, had already been paid for the first half of January. If this measure would have been adopted by the Congress on January 17th, the 800,000 federal employees would have their money, Nancy. And so, what do you mean? Trump doesn't care about the little people. What are you talking about? And I pulled the roll call vote. The 6 Democrats who voted in favor of the bill were Josh Gottheimer from New Jersey, their 5th district there, Representative Joe Cunningham from South Carolina, Representative Connor Lamb from Pennsylvania, with all of those government workers that live in Pennsylvania, Representative Seth Moulton from Massachusetts, and Representative Jefferson Van Drew. Those are the 6 Democrats that voted to pay federal workers despite the shutdown. Every other Democrat in Congress, and I want to be specific, every other Democrat in Congress, except for 6 others who didn't vote at all, that Nancy Pelosi is not one of those, every other Democrat in the House of Representatives voted to prohibit the federal employees from getting money. Now you tell me who doesn't care about people getting their paychecks. Folks, this is disgusting. This is disgusting. You want to know why? We know Democrats support the wall. How do we know that? Because they voted for the wall in 2006 and 2013. They supported walls all along. We know the Democrats don't care about federal workers getting money. Why do we know that? Because they didn't vote to pay them. This is about nothing other than being resistant to Trump. They are more concerned about preventing President Trump from getting a win than they are concerned about our safety from the southern border, and more than they're even concerned about federal employees getting money. This is despicable. Compassion. If it's in your ability to do well for your brother. President Trump isn't taking this stance because he hates people. He recognizes the issues on our southern border. I shared the audio with you with the Border Patrol from McAllen, Texas, who said, listen, we have 55 miles on our southern border that has a wall and the rest of it doesn't. You want to know how much traffic comes from with illegal entrants attempting to cross our southern border on the area where we have a wall? Only 6%. You want to know where the majority of the rest of it comes from? 90% comes from the area where we don't have a border barrier. Man, it's common sense. This doesn't negate the ability to use drones and use all types of other technology, but we have to secure the southern border. I want you to listen to these federal workers. This is a press conference with Senator Chris Van Hollen. But I want you to listen to it with the new understanding that you now have that a bill was proposed to pay the federal workers despite the government shutdown. Yet it was Democrats in Congress who opposed it. Please play clip number 3.
We are broken in our agency. And the effects that this has had, I know everybody's talking about mortgage, car payments, car insurance. But let's just talk about little things like medication, over-the-counter medication.
The president needs to stop playing games and put people back to work. I don't know of any other company or any other agency or any other place where you require people to work and not pay them.
Yeah.
And surely the federal government should not be one of them.
The president doesn't understand that we are human beings. We are people. Federal workers, that's just like, you know, words, federal workers. No. I'm the federal worker. He is the federal worker. We are people. We have bills to pay. We have food we need to eat to survive just like everybody else. It's not a game to us.
Not a game to me. Not a game to me. If you want the information, I posted the information on the Hamilton Corners Facebook page. I posted it on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at Hamilton Corner. You can find me at the Hamilton Corner on Facebook. I posted the measures discussing it. I posted the roll call vote. Folks, this is sickening. This is sickening. And you know what's additionally sickening? Did you hear any of this from the mainstream media? Nah. They're too busy talking about Catholic high school boys with Make America Great Again hats. Do you realize that this vote took place before the incident in Washington with the Make America with Nick Handyman and Nathan Phillips ever arose? I kind of have a sneaky suspicion that they were excited to get the story about Nick Handyman so they wouldn't have to report the fact that Democrats refused to pay federal workers. And listen, you know I'm an equal opportunity truth teller. I think the R's and D's, look, regressivism is a bipartisan institution. You have regressive Democrats just like you have regressive Republicans. I understand that very clearly. For me, this is not an issue of R's and D's. But how can you tell me that you care about these federal workers being paid when you refuse to vote for a bill to pay them? You know why? Because they don't want to relinquish their leverage. So they're more than willing to allow these federal workers to bleed financially to make a point of stopping Trump. Get out of here with that foolishness. Yet these are the people who want to feign compassion. And again, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. But I find it very difficult to believe that people would be compassionate and they're the very same people who are in favor of killing the most vulnerable among us, the children. Miss me with your compassion. You can't even be bothered to care for. Folks, this is sad. This is sad. This is sad what our leaders are doing. This is sad what our media is doing. And you wonder why I call them talking snakes? You wonder why I called them talking snakes? You can't be bothered to tell the American people that a bill was presented to pay these federal employees? They have families, man. I have veterans. I have federal employees in my family. But you're more than willing. It's disgusting. And you wonder why I say we need repentance? We have got to get to the place, man, where we care about one another enough to push past the talking points and push past the mainstream media narratives. I mean, how can you trust a media to be an aid of the people? They won't even tell you about this vote. They want to spend all of their time. I say a rocket surgeon. I meant brain surgeon or a rocket scientist. I'm telling you, this is one of those days. This is one of those days. And I'm going to say something that I say all the time. Wicked people will never stand righteous leadership. Never. This is why I say politics flows downstream from culture. If we have a wicked populace, they will never tolerate godly leadership. Never. You hear what I'm telling you? The Lord said through Apostle John, you want to know why Cain killed Abel? Because of the wickedness in Cain's own heart. He couldn't stand Abel's righteousness. This is ridiculous, man. People are playing optics. You had Nancy Pelosi's worth several $100 million, who has walls around her own house, but one has the nerve to say walls are immoral, which caused Steny Hoyer, if you haven't heard this yet, I should have pulled this audio, but I didn't. Steny Hoyer is the number two Democrat in the House of Representatives. He can't stand Nancy Pelosi. Can't stand her. And you know what he came out and said today? For anybody to suggest that walls are immoral, that's just foolishness. That's a Democrat, the number two ranking Democrat in the House of Representatives. Go look it up. I should have brought the audio, but I don't have it. Go look it up. He said walls are not immoral in and of themselves. If walls are meant to protect people, then they're not immoral. Steny Hoyer said that. Now, if your walls are used to imprison people, then maybe they are immoral. But a wall is not immoral in and of itself. Folks, put aside the mainstream media talking points. I know some of you love Don Lemon Juice Squeezy. Put Lemon Juice Squeezy on the side for a moment. All right, Chris Cuomo, his family, Lord, leave him aside for a moment. Think for a moment. Do the Democrats really oppose the wall if they voted for a wall multiple times in the past? Just think about that. Then what is it that they really oppose? It's probably the very same reason why the mainstream media ran with the story of Nick Handyman. If he didn't have that Make America Great Again hat on, I don't think anybody would have heard anything about him. Because of his red MAGA hat, that's what made the story. Why am I saying that? If you watch the whole video, it shouldn't be a story. And if you really want to make a story about anything, it should be about the evil black Hebrew Israelites who are spewing their invectives and insulting everybody and agitating the Native American protesters to turn their ire on the high school children. Oh, goodness gracious, man, I am sick and tired of the foolishness. Of the foolishness. People picking sides, they don't have any facts. All they have is feelings. Well, I think the little boy is wrong. Look at that smirk. What would you do if a man zooms in on you from over 200 feet away, banging a drum in your face? I know most of you who say that could not have grown up in New Orleans. Folks, the body of Christ has to stand up. We have to stand up because we cannot expect darkness to produce light. We cannot expect hatred to produce love. It's high time for us to be the body of Christ. And let us begin by connecting with the pregnancy resource centers in our own neighborhoods so we lock arms to save lives.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.